We are the trampled dignity of an entire people at gunpoint and through words that mean nothing today. We're going to talk about the viral hit that's become a political slogan of an entire revolution. Pat, I haven't seen this much craziness in the streets of Cuba since The Godfather Part 2. But first...
I knew it was you, Fredo.
Anyway, Patrick Ivanitsky, I missed you last time, man. I had another one of my tangent episodes where I go off the trail and I kind of wander off into the forest. So I just want to plug Gina Yates' book one more time. The book's called Narcissus Nobody from Three Rooms Press. Very cool chick. I love the conversation I had with her. We chatted for about 3 solid hours and I had to cut it in half. Anyway, how's Riley's book doing?
Pretty good. She gave me access to the website so I could see her sales. I mean, look, she's not trying to get rich off of it, but she sold 152 physical copies of it.
That's awesome.
And the ebook, we don't have those numbers yet because they're so slow to push those. But the feedback has been great, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, it was compelling, man. It really hits you. There's a gut punch moment in it. I think she's gonna continue. She actually is. She's away for the summer, and she's going on a college tour next week, or 2 weeks, August 3rd. She's going to Missouri State. She's gonna go check out Missouri State. That's gonna be her first tour there, and she's got a couple up here that I think we're gonna do, but her grandmother's gonna take her. She's looking forward to it. But yeah, I'm happy for her. She's ecstatic. To her, I mean, you think back to when you were that young, she thinks she's rich. I was like, look, it's not, it's not about the money, right?
She knows. Yeah, that. Yeah. Is she going to talk to us about the book soon? She wants to do that?
She said she would be willing to do that. I'll have to get her on a Wednesday night. You said next week or the week after, I think. Is that what you said?
I guess next episode.
Okay.
We won't be doing anything next week, but we'll, 2 weeks, every 2 weeks we record, and then we release the episode that following Monday. Our pattern's record every other Wednesday and release the episode every other Monday.
Yeah. So I know you wanted to chat a little bit about that article you sent me about that Cuban revolution, basically, and that hip hop song that's out there and how they're just trying to, look, Cuba has been, what can you say about Cuba that hasn't been said? I mean, you thought with Castro no longer being in that hot seat of power that things would have changed, and it didn't. They're cutting people's electricity. I mean, it's bad over there. And then you get a couple of bands, it made me think of when Chris Cornell with the Rage Against the Machine guys, Audio Slaves, they played over there. Kiss was played over there. I don't know, maybe not Kiss, it wasn't Kiss, it was somebody else. They showed somebody else playing in Cuba, but they love Americans. They love American music. They love American cars. When the embargo started, they still have cars from the 50s over there that are like in pristine condition.
Wasn't the Stones? Did the Stones play there recently too, last 10 years? Something like that?
Yes, they did. Yep, the Stones did play there. So, it's like a hotbed for music. They love American rock and roll. The Stones aren't American, but they just love rock and roll, period.
The idea that we've talked about several times on the show before is that, a lot of the hip-hop artists are the new rock stars, and they're the ones that are kind of reflecting civilization back to pop culture.
Yeah, protesting and stuff like that. Yeah.
And it's some hip hop artists based in Miami. People I've never heard of. I was listening to the song. The song in question we're talking about, Patri Vida, and it's this big phenomenon since February or March, I think, it was earlier in the year, and
got a ton of YouTube hits.
Between some hip hop artists, Yotuel Romero and Alexander Delgado. And rappers, tell me if I'm pronouncing this right, Maykel or Sorbo and El Funky, who both live in Cuba. The YouTube video has gotten about 6 million hits. This is all in connection with, I guess, if you're anywhere near the news in the past 72 hours, you know, you've seen what's happening in Cuba, demonstrations going on in Havana, other cities. It's kind of spilled into Florida. Protests denouncing Cuba's economic crisis during the pandemic. Yeah, it's like you were saying earlier, Cuba's in probably the worst stage of the pandemic right now. They're pretty much where we were in April of 2020.
Yeah.
And the numbers are exploding. There's food shortages. There's shortage of medicine.
Rolling blackouts. When the Obama administration was in office, you almost felt like there was a sense of him willing to work with Cuba to you know, maybe like some olive branches. And then Trump's administration completely just strangled them. And it even says it in that article. He really put the kibosh on Cuba big time. And then now Biden is just toward the people.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's just like a lot of Trump apologists who are, well, calling into question and literally confusing the embargo, which has gone on for decades, with Trump's sanctions.
Before us.
with Trump's, they're confusing that with the sanctions imposed by Trump that basically destroyed their economy. Then there's counter protests in support of the Cuban government, resulted in one death already. So on top of the immediate need of having to get food, where you're placed with the choice of risking getting the virus, going out there and getting food, you know, you're hungry, man. You want to feed your kid. The immediate need is food, survival. On top of that, really about the people of Cuba that are sick of fucking communism. You know, and they're focused on civil liberties. You know, so I think some people over here are constantly bitching about their civil liberties being fucking trampled on. Go to Cuba and come back and tell me how much your civil liberties are being trampled on.
Yeah.
Look, the people in Cuba realize the value in people having a say, the idea that people have the power. That idea of people having the power is attractive to them just as much as we love that idea here. As much as a lot of Americans like to equate the idea of people having the power with communism. Because you say people have the power here in the States, and you got the right wing saying, oh, you're commie, you know, you're a commie, you're communist. Yeah, because they become so fucking warped in their mentality that they no longer tolerate or accept the process for what it is. And that's called a democracy. At the urging of one person, an entire political party is turned against democracy. And so, you know, as Cubans are out there fighting for civil liberties in Havana, we got a party here passing legislation to stop voting.
Nobody here has had to fight for a meal in a long time.
It's funny that it's just ironic that there are politicians in Florida who are asking Biden to support these protests and support the people of Cuba, which I'm sure he already does. This is, look, democracy is, you know, the whole democratic process is.
Oh, he's for the people. He's definitely for the people.
But these are also politicians that are literally, as we speak, fighting against the whole democratic process in America. It's like, oh, yeah, we support it when it's over there, but just don't let it happen over here. If this was happening here, they'd be like, oh, they're anti-American and it's Antifa and it's BLM, you know. So
next thing you know, you'll be hearing about refugees. That's the other thing. Let's close the border so none of them come over here. It's a mess.
DeSantis guy, Rubio, you know, Marco. I mean, I don't remember hearing them ever once saying lift the embargo, lift the sanctions on Cuba.
Those are the first people that would benefit from lifting that embargo. Could you imagine if they started funneling money into Cuba and putting up hotels and, you know, the destination that they could make Cuba? I mean, it's, you know, it's, yeah. It would take a while to build it, but Jesus.
But I love the idea that it's that a protest song, that it's not just being written, but it's being played on a mainstream circuit, but that it's embraced by an entire culture, that it's happened to be some sort of a kick in the ass needed to jumpstart and become this. It happened in America in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, this is the beautiful thing that's missing in America today. You know, the fact that we ridicule artists for doing that sort of thing. So I don't know. I'm calling on all of the most influential voices in music. The rock artists, the hip hop artists. We are fighting a civil war through one in which side of the American voting population is literally turned against democracy, man. Where are the artists reflecting this back?
I think in the current climate, I think some of those people have a fear for their life.
Sure.
If people could fucking storm the Capitol and, you know, I mean, who's to say that they can't take a shot at Bruce up there doing a set, it's at an open park or an open event or something like that. There's a fear. There's certainly a fear out there of putting yourself out on that soapbox, if you will, now. So I think people have scaled it back. And that's unfortunate because that's not getting the message across. That's, for lack of a better term, letting the other guy win. I think we fall into a bad spot there. You know, I mean, some people are still going to be vocal. They're just not going to do it out in the streets. They're going to, you know, do it from behind the microphone, kind of like we are.
What you say is definitely true. It's there's probably a lot of people that, given the post-Fox climate, and I largely blame Fox for most of what's going on over the last 20 years. I mean, just in a post 9/11 world, going all the way back to Natalie Maines of the, you know, remember the Dixie Chicks?
Yeah.
Get death threats for basically just disagreeing with the president's decision to take us into Iraq during.
You can't disagree with anybody anymore.
But I mean, in terms of, I mean, the artists, and I get it. I really know the right answer. I don't want to say the right answer, but I know the truth in this matter. But just not a hypothetical. I'm just putting a question out there. I mean, how, given the right wing's complete disdain for artists who support liberal and progressive causes, they use the excuse, oh, you know, I just want to be entertained. I just want to be entertained. Don't tell me your views. But we know that's not the case. We know that what's true is that they don't want to be reminded that they hold very unpopular opinions and that the majority of the musical artists and the majority of Hollywood and the majority of the fucking world disagrees with them. They don't want to be reminded of that by people that they once admired, like rock artists. But that's not even the point. The point is, but how do we reconcile Shut Up and Sing with the fact that rock artists wrote there's a whole entire American heritage of rock songs that changed the fucking world, man, 50 years ago, you know, 50, 55 years ago. And we grew up proud of that stuff, man. These are the rock groups. These are the groups we listen to. These are the groups that influenced us. These are the groups that we learned guitar and instruments to. You know, this is the stuff that we really didn't care about until Fox News came along and started telling you that Bruce Springsteen is anti-American and Natalie Maines, should get death threats because of her views. And if you're anybody but Kid Rock and Ted Nugent, you should not be allowed to voice your opinions.
Yeah.
And this really did start over the last... I mean, cancel culture begins with the right Fox News. I'm sorry. It all begins. I mean, arguably, you could go back to Sinead O'Connor, man, with the shit she pulled on SNL.
The Pope.
You know, I think cancel culture kind of started there, although there was a nice... did it to Roseanne the first time when she sang the national anthem. You know, they kind of didn't like the way she sang the national anthem.
She spit at the end of it.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, but it was... she. You know, This is what I don't understand, though, because the cancel culture should the cancel her. She spit as a joke because baseball players, all they do is grab the crotch and spit.
Yeah, yeah. That's what
they do. And that was the joke. And people don't get that. And it's just, you know, it kills me. If you're going to get offended, okay, people can get offended by that. I get it. National anthem, whatever. Fuck that. But if you go to a comedy club and get offended by the jokes a comedian's telling, don't go to a comedy club.
Yeah.
Because chances are you're going to hear something you don't want to like. You're not going to like.
Yeah.
Something you don't want to hear. Off-putting, whatever. That's it. Just don't go. Go see fucking Wayne Brady. You know, he's safe. He's in your safe space. Don't go see fucking Andrew Dice Clay. Or, you know, do your research.
Well, that's another thing. It's like a lot of people we know, man, a lot of people we grow up with and people just in general, man, Andrew Dice, oh, yeah, Andrew Dice Clay, he's great. Or everybody's great. Everybody's these icons, man. Did you watch this movie? Did you watch this TV show? The minute one person from the TV show goes off and says, well, anything bad about Trump, they're done. Oh, you know, fucking, they're done. It's like, oh, fuck him. He was a piece of shit anyway, and his show sucked, and blah, 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 blah. It's like, how many people, you're going to totally cancel all of Hollywood till what? Till it's just Gary, you're going to end up watching Gary Busey and Scott Baio after school specials the rest of your life. Can you exist Scott Baio and Gary Busey?
You spent six seasons watching a show, and then all of a sudden that show sucks. Okay.
When Roseanne said that shit, they went after Roseanne a long time ago. A lot of people hated Roseanne and then the same people that hated her suddenly loved her because she was, you know, she was pro-Trump in her TV show. You know, she was, oh, Roseanne's got balls. You know, Roseanne always had fucking balls, man.
Always.
I watched her.
She always did.
And I thought I got a kick out of the fact that she was a Trump supporter in that show, man. And if she was a Trump supporter in real life, it shouldn't be held against her, man.
It's fucking entertainment. Hey, maybe she was wrong for going out on that public platform and fucking doing some of the things she said. But even that's not a reason for her to take her off TV. I mean, she didn't fucking say she was going to gut somebody in public and fucking hang them by their fucking testicles. Was it out of line? Probably,
sure.
But whatever. Get over it. This was a very depressing show today.
On a brighter note, man, let me inform you that a Los Angeles judge has allowed Britney Spears to hire her own lawyer.
When did that break? When did that news break?
Today.
Good for her.
So this is kind of a big thing. In this conservatorship.
Conservatorship. You're right.
Sounds like a sneeze or something. It sounds like somebody hacking up their fucking hacking up phlegm. Like conservatorship. She was being represented by for the entire duration of that conservatorship by a court appointed attorney.
Yes, she was.
I think what happened was that the ACLU stepped in, and they had the support of 25 other civil liberties groups. It's unfortunate because she's obviously still very naive. She's surrounded by a lot of bad people with a lot of bad intentions.
Driven by her money.
they completely taking advantage of the fact that she's a fucking mess. Obviously doesn't know her rights because there's, you know, she was never even aware of certain things that she could do legally, like petition for the end of the whole conservative ship thing, man, or I keep saying conservative ship because I'm so sick and tired of bitching about the conservatives. But I mean, look, if we weren't in a pandemic and all of the stuff within the government wasn't going on, like if we weren't on the verge of a civil war, this Britney Spears thing would be the biggest story in the country.
It's big. It's big as it is. I mean, I just can't believe that poor girl, like the shit that they're putting this girl through, like she can't have children. They're making her do this. They're making her do that. But you hit the nail on the head that she's not very smart. You read the transcript from her day in court and I was just like, wow, she was speaking on like a eighth or ninth grade level, like it was very odd. But I don't think that that's because of mental illness. I think that that's just because she's for lack of, I might piss some people off here, but she's from Kentucky. I mean, she's not, you know, she's like a backwoods gal. She's not, you know, she's not extremely smart, but she's a human fucking being, deserves her own fucking rights. She made that money. She didn't make that money for all those greedy fucking bastards to have their hands in the till. And that's exactly what's going on there. Her father's the fucking, her father could claim all he wants that, oh, poor Brittany, I'm not, that's not me. That's the conservatorship bullshit. You set all that fucking shit up, dude. That guy is a fucking, he's the biggest crook going.
Yeah. And on even more depressing news, our beloved Vintage Vinyl is closing on July 31st this month. I guess to wrap things up, we'll just end on this note of on Vintage Vinyl. It was a store that in our hometown was, it literally put our town on the map, because we live in a small town and we're part of a township. So a lot of times when you tell people that don't know where your town is, you just kind of say the township name. Yeah, and so yeah. Vintage Vinyl was in business for 42 years. It was in our town for about 36 years. I think they were...
The Prince of fucking Darkness himself has been there, bro. Ozzy, yeah, goddamn Ozzy, Osbourne was there, man.
Ozzy to Judas Priest to...
Slayer. I mean, this place was... They were... It was... Come on. You could go in there for hours and thumb through records and find something to leave with.
Yeah. They did a great online business. They were known worldwide. You've seen a lot of out-of-state plates coming in to buy things at Vintage. I posted the other day my first purchase and my last purchase. You know, again, because I'm one of those people that remember dates, and I have that, you know, I have a mild case of superior autobiographical memory, where I have, my memory is very related to the calendar. I know that my first purchase was in January of 1985, and Vintage Vinyl was maybe a couple months old at that point. So it was the first Yngwie Malmsteen's Rise of Quartz, the instrumental record. I bought it as an import.
I had that on cassette way back in the day.
Since they announced the closing, have you been able to get there?
No.
The lines went, as soon as they announced it, man, people were like, the parking lot was packed.
Wow.
You know, the lines were wrapped around the entire store. It was nuts. It took me, I went in there 3 days in a row just to buy something, because like every time I went in there to get, like, and I was watching this one record, because they were empty in the fucking racks. People were just like, coming out of nowhere, man. License plates from Pennsylvania and New York. You know, it was crazy. So I was like, oh my God, man. Like, people are really coming out. I was like, at this rate, they're not even going to make it July 31st.
Those people could be collectors, though, knowing that they're going out of business. They're going to go in there and spend some money and get those records.
I know some of the collectors that are like, you know, just by going there, like who's a collector and who like walks out with stacks of records. And a few of those guys were there. These are my last two purchases, man. And then we'll wrap this up. So I got Tom Waits' Frank's Wild Years. This was on the wall. This was on the wall for $60 forever. And I always looked at this thing, and I said, nah, man, I love this album. I just don't want to pay $60 for it, you know? And then they lowered it to 40, right? And I was like, 40, somebody's going to grab that album. The line was wrapped around his throat. I said, fuck, I really want to buy this. So I went back the next day. The line was wrapped around his throat. I said, fuck. So I finally went back, and I grabbed it off the wall myself. Sometimes you got to ask for them. And his album, Electric Rendezvous by Al Di Meola. This was another one of my favorite guitarists back in the 80s when I was learning guitar. And this album is one of my very favorite albums ever. If you love instrumental guitar or jazz or both, Electric Rendezvous by Al Di Meola. It's a little bit of synth on it, but it has a little bit of an 80s feel, but not really. There's enough of Brazilian sounds in it to make it really sound authentic and not really dated to the 80s. But so those are officially my last two purchases at Vintage Vinyl, man. So that's where we are. Yeah, it just wasn't depressing.
When, when we have Riley on the next show, we got to talk about Vintage a little bit more. She's not going to be here before they close, so she's not going to get to go. She was there before the announcement. She was there a few weeks before the announcement with my mom and bought a couple of things. But we've got to make sure we bring that up with her, because I know she knows, we'll have to talk about that with her.
And apparently, you know, like the store closes on July 31st. That's the last date that they're going to be open. And her episode will be that week anyway. So it'll still be much closer to their closing. So it'll be very much a story. Don't be surprised if News Jersey or News 12 or whatever covers it again.
I feel like it kind of rushed us at the end here, but man, I'm really not feeling well, Mike. And I know you can see me like fucking struggling to get through.
Okay, go run in the bathroom and lose your dinner.
With that.
Huh?
I said, and with that.
Pouring on me, man.